Tonight we'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to continue the thought of more than conquerors, living that kind of life. Of course, there is a sense in which every child of God is more than conqueror when we leave this life. We'll certainly be that. But I do believe that we can live that type of life upon earth. And I do believe that most of God's people fail miserably to live that kind of life. We saw last week that it's also kingdom of God way of life, and we saw that in that life the spiritual is perceived as the most important, and that of course is imperative. It's considered to be the most valuable, the most excellent, the most satisfying aspect of life, and that gives us, that causes our loyalties to be right. It causes us to be concerned about the right things. It causes us to pursue the right things. It causes us to have right priorities. And if we have all of those things, then of course life is so much different than most people know. But this life that we've been talking about requires faith. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Paul declared in Romans 1, verse 17, and also in Galatians 3, and verse 11, "The just," that is, those who have been justified by God, those who are saved, "the just shall live by," or by the means of, "faith." It is to be a characteristic of those who are saved to walk and to live by faith. Faith is crucial. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And Paul, of course, lived an extraordinary life. And he did so by faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11 that it was by faith that the elders obtained a good report or a good testimony, which shows us that a good testimony and faith are connected. It's hard to separate those two. We're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, that through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. And faith helps us to understand a lot of things. And what we don't understand, faith causes us to lean upon the Lord. But understanding and faith are vitally connected as well. We see in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith and pleasing God are closely connected. So is coming to God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, in that sixth verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe." You're not going to come unless you believe. And you believe that he is. And you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith not only is necessary to come to God, faith is what causes us to seek the Lord as well. We can talk about seeking God all you want to, but unless you have faith, you're not going to seek Him. Unless you believe that He is. And again, that's more than believing that He exists. It's believing that He is. That is, believing who He is. So we see seeking God and faith are connected. From all of this, we see that if we're going to live this life of a more than conqueror, we have to have faith. We have to have the kind of faith that the New Testament, the Old Testament illustrates so well, that these talk about. The apostles prayed in Luke 17 and verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. And there isn't a one of us here that does not have trouble in some area of faith. There's not one of us here that doesn't have some area that we find it difficult to just hand it over to God and to trust Him. We may hand a lot of things over to God, but we all have certain areas in our life where faith is lacking. And faith, of course, none of us have the faith that we ought to have. None of us have the faith that we could have. And that's why we need to pray with the apostles, increase our faith. So this is a life that is based on faith. It is a life of faith. So it leads us to the question, what is faith? Just what is faith? People say all the time, well, just have faith in God. But what is that? What exactly is faith? I believe faith consists of several different things. But none of these by themselves are faith. But faith consists of these things. We say that faith consists of a belief in God. To believe is to accept and regard something as true. To accept and regard something as genuine and real. Paul, on the ship there, headed to Rome, in Acts 27 and verse 25 said, For I believe God. That's faith. For I believe God that it shall be even or exactly and precisely as it was told me. Faith is a belief. It is a belief in what God's Word says. You read it, you believe it. That's faith. It is said of Abraham, Romans chapter 4. Well, let's turn to Romans 4. We're going to be looking at several verses there. But in Romans 4, verse 17, we read, He believed even God. So in both of these cases, Acts 27, Romans chapter 4, concerning Paul and concerning Abraham, they both believed in God. But the Bible also tells us that the demons believe. So just a belief in God is not faith, but faith does consist of belief. You can't have faith without belief. There has to be, wherever there's faith, there is belief. That's true, whether it be faith in God or faith in your car brakes. You believe that something is going to happen. You trust in something. But this is more than a belief in God's existence. This is a belief in His person. This is a belief in who He is. There are many out there in the world today that believe that there is a God. They have no idea who he is, but they believe that there is a God. But the faith that the Bible talks about is much more than just a belief in the existence of God. It is a belief, of course, but you can't have faith in God if you don't believe that he exists. So it is necessary to believe in the existence of God. But believing in the existence of God by itself does not constitute faith. Now, in both cases of Paul and Abraham, there was a belief in the ability of God. So it went beyond a belief in the existence of God. It was a belief in the ability of God. It was a belief that God was able. Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as he said. In other words, he believed God would do exactly what he said. He believed God was able to do that. Notice in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham believed in God. Abraham believed that God was able to do the miraculous. Everyone here believes that. Everyone here believes in God. Everyone here believes that God is able to do the miraculous. But he not only believed that God was able to do the miraculous, he believed that God was able to do the miraculous in his life, in his situation. Now, I dare say that not everybody here believes that tonight. You believe in God. You believe that God is able. And you may believe that God is able to do whatever needs to be done in your situation, but you don't believe he will. So there's a breakdown in faith right there. But Abraham believed that God was able. Paul believed that God was able. And they both believed that God would do the miraculous in their life. They both believed that God was able to carry out what he had promised. That he was able to execute and bring about and to accomplish and to achieve and to implement what he had promised into their lives. So it was personal. It was personal. Not everyone has, not all of God's children have that much belief. They believe that God is able. They do not believe that God will do in their life. But Abraham believed also in spite of appearances. All belief will be tested. Beliefs will be tested. That's true, whether it be a belief in God or whatever. Beliefs have a way of being tested. And the test really doesn't determine if we'll believe. The test shows whether or not we do believe. And that's true regarding faith as well. Notice in Romans 4 verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. That is, though all appearances were contrary to what God said, that did not affect Abraham's belief. Now, once again, you have to have belief in order to have faith. All faith must contain belief. But here's where the faith of many begins to break down. This is where the belief begins to break down. If appearances are contrary to what God has said, they no longer believe, or they begin to have doubt. Now, it wasn't that Abraham ignored his age or Sarah's age. He simply believed that God was able, in spite of his age, in spite of Sarah's age, In other words, Abraham did not ignore the facts. Sarah is old. Abraham is old. Faith does not ignore the facts. But faith does not get stuck right there in the facts. Abraham didn't get stuck there. And again, faith isn't ignorance. Faith can see facts. Faith can see appearances, but it doesn't get stuck there. It's a belief that goes beyond appearances. If you can only believe when everything is how you think it should be, you don't have much. You don't have any more than a lost person. If that's the extent of your faith, you don't have much. But Abraham believed contrary to outward appearances. In other words, his faith wasn't based upon appearances. His faith wasn't determined by appearances. His faith was determined by what God had said. That's all he needed. And notice in verse 13, verse 14, verse 16, you have the word promise. And you see in verse 20, you have the word promise. In verse 21, you have the word promised. So this is what Abraham was basing his faith upon. The promise of God. Simply what God said. Despite everything else, despite how things looked, Abraham believed because God said it. You say, I believe such and such because I experienced it. That's good. But what if you haven't experienced it? Can you still believe? You ought to. We ought to believe simply because God said it. We shouldn't have to experience it in order to believe it. So faith consists of belief. But it's much more than that. Faith also consists of knowledge. Paul in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 12 said, I know whom I have believed. Again, a lot of people believe in God. In fact, the majority of the population, despite what people will tell you, the majority of the population believes that there is a God. Does the majority of the population know him? No. But they believe that he exists. They don't know him. There's a lot of things that we believe that exist that we do not know. But the faith we're talking about is not only a belief in God, but it is a knowledge of God. I know whom I have believed. You can read the scriptures. You can be fairly sound in your theology from reading the scriptures, and you believe God. In fact, your belief as you read the scriptures can be strengthened, and yet you still not know him. And still not know him. A lot of people know truth, know of truth, know some truths about God, but they don't know him. But this faith we're talking about includes a knowledge. Now, this knowledge conveys the idea of confidence. It conveys the idea of assuredness. More importantly, it conveys the idea of awareness and consciousness. Again, most of the population believes in God. But do you believe for a moment that most people walking around that believe in God are conscious of God? I don't think so. Do you think they live their lives in the awareness of God? No. They live like atheists. They're not even aware enough of God that when they sit down at a meal to bow their head and thank God for it. They believe in God, but they don't live in an awareness of God. Faith is living in an awareness of God. It is living conscious of God. So, again, faith is not ignorance. Faith is not just some shot in the dark. It's based upon an awareness. It's based upon a consciousness of who God is and what God has said. That's faith. But again, faith is much more than that. We see in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded So faith is believing. Faith is knowing. And faith is being persuaded. He said, I'm persuaded that he is able. We read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21 that Abraham was fully persuaded. That is, he was fully convinced. He had assurance. He had confidence. But to be persuaded means that what we believe has an influence upon us. A lot of people believe a lot of things. Good things. But it doesn't influence their life. Again, most people believe in God. But do you believe for a moment that that belief influences their life? Hardly. It doesn't have an impact. It doesn't have an effect upon their lives. So this faith is belief. This faith is knowing. But this faith also has an in it, what we believe about God. What we believe about the Word of God, it has an influence upon us. It influences our thinking. It influences the way we look at things. It influences the way we perceive things. It influences the way we measure things. It influences every aspect of our life. This is faith. This is what faith will do. Not simple belief, but this is what faith will do. Faith also consist of assent or agreement with God. Faith agrees with God. Faith doesn't argue with God. Faith does not try to change what God has said. Faith accepts what God has said. Whether they understand it or not, faith accepts what God has said. And faith receives what God has said. Faith accepts who God is. Faith receives who God is. Again, a lot of people believe in God, but they've never really, they don't even know what God has said, so they don't know how can they possibly accept. How can they possibly receive what God has said? Faith also consists of seeing things that the physical eye cannot see. Notice in 2 Corinthians, we saw in chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But notice chapter 4, verse 18. For we look, that is, to look at something is to direct your gaze toward an object. For we look, that is, we direct our gaze toward something. He first approaches it from the negative. We look not at the things which are seen. That is, the things that we can see with our physical eye. He goes on later in the verse and he says, for the things which are seen are temporal. So what Paul is saying here is, we look not at the things which are temporal. That's not where we set our gaze. That's not what we're concentrating on. Then he draws a contrast. But at the things which are not seen. That is, with the physical eye. And he describes what these are in the latter part of the verse. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So he says, we set our gaze not on temporal things, not on the physical, not on the material, but we set our gaze on eternal things. On spiritual things. He says there again in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So immediately, faith and physical sight are contrasted. They are opposites. What we see with our physical eye and what we see by faith are two entirely different things. Now, faith is the opposite of looking at the things which are seen. Faith is the opposite of walking by sight. That does not mean that we do not see the physical. It does not mean that we do not see the material. It doesn't mean that we don't see the obstacles. It doesn't mean that we don't see the problems. It doesn't mean that we don't see the needs or feel the needs. It doesn't mean that we are oblivious to the temporal things. It does not ignore the temporal things. It does not ignore the problem. It does not ignore the obstacle. It does not ignore the what appears to be a hindrance. We walk not by sight. What does that mean? To look at the things which are seen and to walk by sight is to be controlled by those things. It means you see an obstacle, you see a problem, you see a need, and your life is dominated by that, your life is controlled by that. That's walking by sight. Now, faith does just the opposite. Faith sees the obstacle. Faith sees the problem. Faith sees the need. But faith isn't controlled by that, because faith is able to look beyond that and see God, and is controlled by that. Faith is able to look beyond the obstacle and say, yes, I see this obstacle. It's right here in front of me. But God has said, and faith looks beyond the obstacle to what God has said or what God has promised. So the child of God, from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, the child of God is not to live under the control. We are not to live under the domination of what is seen or what we think we see. Because a lot of times things are just appearances. But we do not, faith does not allow us to be controlled and dominated by these things. So faith sees. Faith sees invisible things. Again, it doesn't ignore the obstacles. It doesn't ignore the problems. That's ignorance. But faith looks beyond those things and says, yes, I see the problem, I see the need, but God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw Christ dying. They saw Christ rising from the grave afar off. They never in their life received the promise. That is, they did not see the promise fulfilled in their life. But they saw him. They saw him afar off. And you and I aren't going to see every promise fulfilled in this life. But faith is able to get beyond that. Faith sees afar off. And notice, they saw afar off and they were persuaded. They were persuaded by what? By what they could see afar off. They were persuaded by what they could see by faith. They weren't persuaded by the obstacles. They weren't persuaded by the needs. They weren't persuaded by the problems and the hindrances. What persuaded them, what influenced them, what impacted them was what they saw by faith. Now, if you are surrounded by problems and difficulties and there's obstacles all around you and everybody can see those obstacles. You can see them. Everybody around you can see them. And you say, I'm not worried about it. I see God out in the distance. God's people think you've lost your mind. Because people don't, they usually don't get this far in faith. Seen afar off. And today, if someone is having a problem and you talk to them about having faith, you're being dismissive. That's the way they take it many times. Well, you're just dismissing my problem. No, we're trying to tell you, have faith. Look beyond what you can see and see the Lord. They saw the promises of God afar off. And it says, as you read on there, they embraced them. They embraced them. They welcomed them. They welcomed the promises into their lives. And let's be honest, the reason many fail to live a more than conqueror life is because they embrace the wrong things. Because they're holding on to the wrong things. Rather than just holding on to what you can see by faith. Faith also consists of acts. Faith does something. So we've seen so far that faith is belief. Faith is knowledge. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is assent or agreement. Faith is seeing, that which is invisible to the human eye. But it's more than all of those things. Faith is more than belief. Can't have faith without it, but it's more than belief. Faith is more than knowledge. All faith has knowledge, but faith goes beyond knowledge. Faith goes beyond persuasion. It even goes beyond agreement with God. People can, you can sit down with a lost person, read them the Word of God, and they'll say, well, I agree with that. And they may very well. That doesn't necessarily mean they have faith. So it's more than agreement with God. Faith is living. Faith is acting upon what we believe, what we know, what we are persuaded of, what we are in agreement with, and what we see afar off. Faith now acts upon those things. And faith is willing, because of that belief, because of that knowledge and persuasion and so on, faith is willing to risk all. Faith is willing to risk everything based upon who God is, who you believe He is, and what He has said. You're now willing to place everything on the line, basing it simply upon what God has said. Most people never get here. They never get there. Everything has to line up. They've been saved 30 years and still everything has to line up before they'll act in any way. That's not faith. Faith, you act not based upon everything's in order by what I can see with the physical eye, but faith acts based upon nothing's in order, but God has said. That's faith. That's faith. And again, it's not ignorance. It's not blindness. It's based on what you see. It's based on what you see spiritually. Based upon what you see with the spiritual eye. There's no better basis. If I ask somebody, why are you moving 1,000 miles away? And they say, well, I've got a better job there. You're not going to like what I've got to say. But if You say, well, I feel the Lord leading me. There's a church there and I just feel the Lord leading me. That's good. That's good. There is no job there. But I just know that's where God wants me. That's faith. I have a problem. And many will disagree, but I have a problem with missionaries who say they're called to a foreign country, but they have to have X amount of dollars before they go. I have a problem with that. To me, that's the same thing that Israel did when they sent spies into the land of Canaan. Same thing. You believe God tells you to go, then go. And the support will come. The support will come. That's faith. You act on based upon what God has said. So faith is a personal dependence, a personal reliance upon God and His Word based upon what you believe, based upon what you see. Faith will cause you to lean and rest upon the Lord. You know why we don't lean upon the Lord? You know why we don't rest upon the Lord? Because we don't believe enough. Because we're not persuaded enough. Because we don't have enough knowledge. Because we haven't seen enough. Because faith will automatically do this. Faith will lean upon God. Faith will rest upon the Lord. Faith will look unto God. When there's a problem, what is the first thing we do? What is our first reaction? Who do we look to first? That says a lot about us. That says a lot about us. It speaks volumes of where we are spiritually. Faith personally commits to God. People will say, I believe, I just haven't surrendered yet. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Real belief will lead you to surrender. It'll lead you to commit to the Lord. If I'm not committing, it's because I lack faith. Faith will cause you to personally cast the burdens upon the Lord. Now, unbelief may cause you to go back and pick them up again, but faith will cause you to go back and leave them there again. And it's a constant battle. Faith is yielding to the Lord. Faith is waiting upon the Lord. And again, this is just me personally, and I've said this many times, to me that is one of the most difficult things, to wait upon the Lord. Just wait. Just wait upon God. Because you look in the Old Testament, and most of the time when people are waiting, their circumstances got worse. But God said, you just sit still till I tell you to move. That's faith. Faith waits upon the Lord. We've got to do something. We've got to do it right now. We can't wait. But if the Lord is telling you to wait, you better wait. Because you will make a mess. And I don't care what it is. Just wait upon the Lord. Faith is living in the reality of God. Again, the lost world, for the most part, believes in God. They don't live in the reality of God. Most people who say they believe certain truths don't live in the reality of those truths. But faith is living in the reality of what we say we believe. Faith causes us to view our circumstances and all the events of life through the lens of who God is. Through the lens of what God has said. How do we view our circumstances? How do we view the events of life? Do we view it from strictly temporal means? Or do we view these things through the lens of who we believe God is? And what God has said? That's faith. So, faith is really, though it is simple, it is really fairly complex. Also, there's many things included in faith. Faith has an effect upon us. This is seen all through the Word of God, and particularly Hebrews chapter 11, where there's a summary of faith, and it's illustrated by the repeated phrase, by faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. And on it goes. Sometimes it says, through faith. That whole chapter is telling us that faith is an enabler. When it says by faith, when it says through faith, it is telling us that faith enabled men and women to do certain things. Faith enabled them. And faith is a great enabler. It is a great spiritual enabler. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, we see that faith gives stability. And faith gives spiritual prosperity. You're not going to have spiritual prosperity without faith. The faith we just described. You're not going to have spiritual stability. You're not going to have spiritual maturity without faith. You cannot be spiritually mature and not have faith. The stronger our faith is, the more mature we are spiritually. You see, some people think that the more they know up here, that's how they measure their spiritual maturity. But that I know people that know a lot up here, but they're sure not spiritually mature. Anything but. Faith has everything to do with spiritual maturity. And there aren't many today who are spiritually mature. That is, we say that somebody doesn't act their age. That's true of a lot of people that are saved, been saved a long time, and they sure don't act like it. You wouldn't know it by watching them. They're spiritually immature. Faith enables one to stand. It enables one to endure. We see in Romans 15 and verse 13 that there is joy and peace in believing. Faith gives joy. Faith gives peace. Joy and peace are not based upon circumstances. If you're only happy when circumstances are in line, you don't have any more than a lost person. Lost people are happy when everything's going their way. But Paul and Silas were in prison. And they were happy. I'm not saying they were happy to be in prison, but they rejoiced. And they sang praises to God. Why? Because they had faith. Joy and peace is based upon faith. Happiness is based upon faith. And that's why people are constantly trying to achieve happiness. Well, you won't have lasting happiness unless you have faith. But most people base their happiness on being with the right person, having the right job, have this, and everything going just right. Well, how often does that happen? Not very often. And that's why most people are miserable most of the time. Because things aren't going just perfect. But faith doesn't need that. Faith produces joy. Faith also produces right thinking. You and I, as children of God, if we don't have faith, we don't think right. We don't think right. And if you don't think right, you don't act right either. The two are connected. Thoughts and actions, you can't separate the two. So if you don't think right, you're not going to act right. But what is it that causes us to think correctly? Is it just being only seeing the temporal? No, that's going to lead to wrong thinking every time. That's going to lead to wrong pursuits. That's going to lead to wrong loyalties. That's going to lead to wrong priorities. But faith causes us to think right. Notice in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." And then notice what it says. But to think soberly. That is, to think correctly. To think clearly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Key word there is according. We think soberly, according, in accord with, in agreement with, the measure of faith that we have. People have ruined their lives simply because they made a decision based on physical sight rather than faith. Faith causes you to think right. Walking by sight, you will not think right. We've already seen faith helps the understanding. Faith produces thanksgiving. Faith produces praise, produces love. The more you believe, the more love you have for God. Faith has an impact upon our judgment. You walk by sight, you're going to make some poor judgments. Faith has a huge impact upon our will, upon our want to. The Bible also teaches that there are degrees of faith. Jesus never commended little faith. Jesus always condemned it. And we see in several places in the gospel, especially in the gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." If you read those occasions where Jesus said, "O ye of little faith," you will find that those individuals that he was speaking to, their faith was confined. They were mastered by circumstances. And when one is mastered by their circumstances, the Lord says, "Oh, you have little faith." Their focus was not upon God. Also, at the same time, in the book of Matthew and also the book of Luke, he commended some for having great faith. Now, there's a huge difference between little faith and great faith. But he commended great faith. And if you look at those situations, you'll see that they had a faith that went beyond their circumstances. You'll see that they were able to look beyond obstacles. They were able to look beyond difficulties. They were able to look beyond inconveniences. They were able to look beyond trials and impossibilities that were in the way. And they pushed on, and God said, and the Lord said, "Thou art of great faith." He commended their faith. And if you look at both situations, those who were condemned for little faith, the apostles on many times when they're out there in a storm, and you look at those who were commended for great faith, their lives were different. When they had little faith, they were fearful. When they had great faith, they had courage. When they had little faith, they were hesitant. When they had great faith, they were bold. And there are many, many examples of this throughout the Word of God. Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 11 speaks of those who were full of faith. And it said to, in Acts chapter 6, talking about deacons, it said, "Choose you out men full of faith." So obviously faith is something you can see. So, obviously, faith does something. They were to men who were full of faith. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7 talked about abounding in faith. That is, ever growing in faith. And we just saw there in Romans 12 and verse 3, "have dealt to every man the measure of faith." And that word "measure" means degree or stature. Every one of us here tonight has a degree of faith. We have a stature of faith. And some may have great faith, some may have little faith. You may have great faith one moment and little faith the next. Again, it's a constant battle. But there is a measure of faith. And our measure of faith is of the utmost importance. Because I believe the measure, our degree of faith also has a lot to do with our degree of dedication to the Lord. People will, well, I know I need to be more dedicated to God. I'm working on it. Well, let me tell you something. It's not going to happen unless your faith increases. Unless your faith increases. It goes hand in hand with the degree of faith. Same with our non-conformity to the world. Why, other than being lost, do some who profess to be saved have such a difficult time with non-conformity? I believe it goes back to a lot of things, but certainly one of the things is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Our degree of transforming is in proportion to our measure of faith. Our degree of serving the Lord is in proportion to our measure of faith. Our obedience to the Lord. A lot of times to obey God, you have to go against everything else. You have to go against all appearances. It's based on faith. What you believe about God. What you believe that God has said. Our prayer life is in proportion to our faith. Most people use prayer as a fire escape. Oh, they'll pray when they get in trouble. As soon as the trouble passes, they're done praying. That's not faith. That's selfishness. But prayer life and faith go hand in hand. I believe our love to the Lord goes hand in hand with faith. Seems to me the more we believe about God, the more we believe what God has said, and the more we act on that, we love Him more. So faith and love go hand in hand. Our enjoyment of the Lord has everything to do with faith. What we believe. It's going to be hard to, in fact, if you believe certain truths of God's Word, that is in your head, but you don't have faith that we've been talking about, those truths in your head will make your life more miserable than if they weren't there. It takes faith to enjoy the truths of God. Faith has much to do with our peace, our assurance, our zeal, our endurance. All these things are in proportion to our faith. So it would be wise to, with the apostles, seek an increase of faith. Lord, increase our faith. And I've heard people say, I've heard preachers say, don't pray such things, because the Lord's going to give you trials. That's foolishness. That's utter foolishness. That is an unspiritual thing to say. You ought to want your faith increased no matter what it takes. Lord, increase my faith as long as you don't bring any difficulties into my life. Now, that's foolish. Lord, increase my faith. And I believe every day, every single day, our faith is challenged. We read the Word, our faith is challenged. And I believe every day we can experience an increase in faith. And if I increase in faith today, and I increase some more in faith tomorrow, and again some more Friday, and again some more Saturday, and again some more Sunday, and then Monday comes, and I wake up, and there's an immediate trial. All those days that my faith has been increasing has prepared me
for that trial. It has prepared me. But if we're not increasing in faith, something happens, we're down in the dumps for 6 months. Because we lack faith. And I want to tell you something. It's very difficult. It's impossible. When you get in those situations, you know you need faith, but you try stirring it up. Just try stirring it up. Just try and produce faith. It doesn't happen. No matter how much you know you should have more faith, just trying to stir it up in the midst of a need or whatever, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. In fact, what will usually happen is as you're trying to stir it up and you see that it's not working, guess what? Now you're even more bummed out. What's wrong with me? You just can't stir up faith as you need it. This is something we need to be increasing every single day. Increasing our faith. And it, we all know it's a battle. One moment you can believe, the next moment you don't. It's like the man said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. That's true of all of us. We all have belief. We also all have unbelief. And unbelief is a very, very dangerous thing. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.